Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places. Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, the name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we go through the Bible here at least 4 days a week. We reserve one day a week to do a live broadcast where we discuss other topics, such as prophecy reality. So we weekly have our prophecy reality edition. That's on every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So make sure you tune in for that. Today, we're continuing our study in the Gospel of John. We've got to chapter 10, about verse 14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, if we're to interpret the Bible here in context, yes, grammatically and historically, this is the method by which I interpret the Bible. This is the method of interpretation that is demonstrated in the Bible itself. That is a historical, grammatical interpretation. And this works for all interpretation, for all prophecy. And right here, historically and grammatically, Jesus is speaking and he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." So to understand what fold he's talking about, that they are not of this one, we have to discover what is this fold. Of course, this fold would be those that he is talking to at that very moment. That's why history and context and grammar is so important to understand the Bible. The Bible interprets itself, and this is the only way that it can interpret itself. So he says, "I have other sheep. Other sheep have I have, which are not of this fold." Who is he speaking to? Of course, he is speaking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not my words, his word. "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he says. So this is the fold. This is this fold in the context here that he is speaking of. The other sheep he has are not of this fold, that is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold." Okay, now he's of course speaking future tense. "They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold." Now, Jesus is in the early part of the 70th week of Daniel. If the weeks of Daniel are contiguous, which I believe they are, there's nothing explicitly to remove any of the weeks off and insert gaps. That is totally done by conjecture. So, 69th week, when it ended, it says 69 weeks unto Messiah. We landed ourselves at the Jordan River baptism where the Messiah was revealed to Israel. And the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit descended like a dove, beginning of the 70th week at that point. So early in the 70th week, he said, "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'll explain this a little more to you. The reason he could say that is because 70 weeks were determined for Israel, for the holy city, and for the temple. That's what the prophet said. That's what the angel told Daniel. 70 weeks are determined. Okay. So he has to appear within that 70 weeks, and he could only say, "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," because he is within that 70 weeks. He says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and they shall," future tense, and that means at the end of the 70 70th week. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold. And that was the point 3.5 years after the crucifixion, 7 years from his appearing at the Jordan River baptism, the beginning of the 70th week. 7 years later, the sheep of the other fold would begin to hear his voice, and there would now be one fold. There's only one fold. There's a nation today over in the Mideast, and it's called Israel. And yes, perhaps they have a special place in the heart of God. And yes, I hope that we have a special place in the heart of God. But the 70 weeks determined for Israel ended. And Jesus is signifying this end here when he says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall," future tense, "hear my voice, and there shall," future tense, "be one fold." That's your grammatical element here. There shall, future tense. And that future tense was to be at the end of the 70 weeks. Then there shall be one fold, because the 70 weeks determined for Israel had ended. And even Chuck Missler, in his own words, agrees with me. You would think, by the plain reading of the text, that the 70 weeks were contiguous, unquote. But he continues and he says, and they are. I agree with him, and they are. And then he digresses and says, except for the 70th week. And he goes on to say that something is explicitly expressed in the text, which is not there. More clues in the Gospels that this is the 70th week, and it is going to end. And this is not conjecture, okay? It is expressed in the text. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold. So we had one fold after that. He made one holy nation. The time for Israel as a set-apart nation to God ended, signified by this here, what Jesus is saying, signified by the fact that the oracles of God, the Word of God, which was conveyed to the Hebrew nation, the Israelites only, now would be conveyed to the nations in the international language of Greek. And we've discussed that before. Let's move on. So he says, therefore doth my Father love me. Well, let's back up. I didn't finish that. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Now there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe me not, because ye are not my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered and said to them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him. But he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted to him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he says to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Well, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said. And after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Wow, let us go also, that we may die with him. Is Thomas a little depressed, or what's going on here? Yes. Well, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Faith. That's the same faith I have, you know. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which would come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but it was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up and hastily went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Yes, the shortest verse in the Bible, they say. Why did Jesus weep? Because he was a man. Because he was moved by emotion like we are. That's why he wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Said I not to thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Whew. Well, you know, all of these people here, they knew, they were there for the funeral, and some of them were still comforting Mary and the family after so many days. And they know that they've seen a miracle. There is no doubt in their mind that Lazarus was dead. They knew he was sick and that he died. Now, Jesus couldn't hop in an automobile, although he could have appeared, but he traveled by foot. And it took some days for him to get from where he was at to Martha and Mary's house, so that he was in the grave for 4 days. So he delayed after he heard, so that he might be glorified. And was he seeking his glory? No, he was seeking the glory to glorify his Father by doing the things that he said, which we should always do. I mean, that is the only way we can glorify God, is by learning obedience to His Word. And the Son said, He said, whatever the Father has told me, that's what I do. Whatever He's shown me, that's what I speak. When we are conformed to the image of the only begotten Son, then, you know, that's our cry. I only want to do the things that please the Father. That's what I say. That's my prayer. Teach me obedience. And that's what repentance is all about. It's all about learning obedience. Because when we come to repentance, what we're saying is that I have not been obedient to your word. the things I have been doing are not pleasing to you. They're contrary to your word. So the true desire of a true Christian is to be obedient to God's word. And how do we know what God wants? Do we get to make it up as we go along? Is it up to us to decide what is right and wrong in his sight? No, it is not. He has written down his will in his word for us, and we need to study to show ourselves approved. We're going into a break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll continue in the Gospel of John.